Hope everyone's managing to stay dry and afloat. We are in the middle of a series right now called The Uprising. And the idea of this series is to look at what difference did Jesus make? When Jesus came and died and rose again, what difference did it make for us? I don't know if you've ever been given free stuff. Most of us like free stuff. I actually like to get free stuff. And if you've ever put free stuff on Kijiji, you will know that people like free stuff. It actually can be kind of violent. You've got to be careful. But sometimes when the free stuff is big free stuff, valuable, something that we don't deserve, it can be harder to accept. And on the one hand, I think that something like that, something free, would be attractive. The idea of something given in love would be something that we would reach out to and grab onto. But I have seen again and again that people often are unwilling to do so. And I'm talking about grace. The gift of forgiveness and acceptance through Jesus Christ. Again and again, I have seen people who, although they know they need this, although they understand, it doesn't really hit them deep down inside. And they still want to make an offer, a trade. You ever try to give a gift to someone and they offered you money for it? It's not really the right thing to do. A few years ago, I had a good friend, a Christian friend, a friend who I went to home group with regularly, a friend who was generous with others, a friend who confessed the gospel message of being saved by grace through faith. But this friend refused to take communion. It was an interesting conflict. It was puzzling. So one day I asked him about it. Why don't you take communion? What's up with this? He didn't even have to think about it. He just said, I'm not good enough. And I couldn't believe it because that's precisely the point that leads us to taking communion, the realization that we are not good enough that draws us in. I'm not good enough. I don't deserve it. There is sin in my life. Today we're looking at some verses in Galatians that address exactly that impulse that I think a lot of us struggle with. I'm not good enough. I don't deserve this. I need to earn this. The Apostle Paul found himself up against this. He found himself up against a movement of earning grace, of people wanting to do things to make themselves good enough. Galatians is a letter, and it's a common form of communication in the New Testament. It's a way of the writer actually being there when he can't be there in person. So what we see in this letter is a glimpse into a very personal conversation from one person to another, to others who care. And he wrote this because he was so upset by what was happening to this new church in this area called Galatia. It was a church of what the insiders would call outsiders. In the Jewish world, there were the Jews, and all the rest, the Gentiles. Or, in a derogatory sense, the Goyim. It's kind of a nickname, means the rest of the world. All those on the outside were looking in. It consisted of all those who would never fit in, who would always be second-class followers because they were not Jewish. And this is what Paul is up against in his letter to the Galatians. He's dealing with a church of Gentiles who got the gospel, who loved Jesus and became Jesus' followers. They were living in the freedom of the gospel, living as people redeemed, who were proclaiming the new life and the new kingdom that is in Jesus. But some new Jewish preachers came to town, some new influence, and they're telling this new church that they all need to be circumcised, that they must start following the law, the Mosaic law, and keep it to a T. And this whole letter is a response to that pressure. Our reading today is from Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 to 29, and you can follow along with me if you'd like. So, in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Through Christ, we are set free from the law. We are all equal, and we belong. Through Christ, we are free from the law. We are all equal, and we belong. Those who have faith in Christ, those who are followers of Christ, those who are believers in Christ, they are free from law. What's really interesting about Galatians is that Paul gets really, really mad. I wouldn't want to mess with this guy. I mean, he gets really mad. He doesn't pull back and hold out. Some of the things he says, cursed be anyone who preaches a different gospel. Cursed be you, angels or human. You are fools. You are deliberately twisting the truth. God will judge the people confusing you, and you hypocrites. He's really mad. Because I think he gets this on a personal level. One thing that we know about Paul is that he was a Jewish teacher, strict in the law. No one chased down and persecuted Jesus' followers harder than Paul did. No one wanted the law followed to a T more than him. He was a champion of this. So he has personal experience with this, and it's personal. He knows where he's come from. He's experienced grace. And he worked so hard to preach the gospel. Again and again, he preached the gospel as being saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. So he is absolutely astounded by what's happening. What's happening is this. The men of this church are going out and getting circumcised because they think they need that to be acceptable to God. Now, I'd say that's a bit drastic. And he can't believe they would go this far and go to this law, these non-Jews, these Gentiles. He's really mad. Hear the passion in his voice when he says this. The gospel of Jesus Christ has set you free for the first time, yet some of you are returning to slavery. Returning to slavery. It's an interesting image. It's meant to draw us back to the Exodus and the escape from slavery, God's delivery of his own people from slavery. Remember that God's people before wanted to return to slavery. Remember that in the Exodus story? They wanted to go back to Egypt. And here, Paul sees that the idea of needing to be circumcised is about returning to slavery. It's interesting, not just the Jews, not just these Gentiles, but many of us, in different ways, in different seasons of our lives, we seem to have this impulse to return to slavery. To put ourselves in spaces that are not good and that hurt us. Patterns that are not about freedom in Christ, but about slavery. The Galatians don't seem to understand the gospel in its fullness. It's like it hasn't gone down deep enough. Christ is sufficient for your salvation. The only way to freedom is freedom from sin, and the only way from freedom from sin is through Christ and the work of the Spirit in us. Not circumcision, not rituals, not becoming Jewish. There is freedom in Jesus. Then he goes on to point out the implications of this freedom. And this is really what they needed to hear. There is no hierarchy in Christ. There is no better people, no worse people. In Christ, we are all one. We are equal. This is verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Gentile. Neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Now, in a society that founded itself on patriarchy, on male dominance, on thriving business based on slavery, on the segregation of races, this verse hit like a freight train. This verse had the impact of D-Day. It was a game changer. We are all equal in Christ. But it doesn't stand alone. It reflects the trajectory and the direction of God's unfolding revelation. It's a direction that is countercultural, counter-ego, and counter-power. It's the trajectory of oneness, creating a people for God's name. We might even call it equality. You can see this movement in the direction of the gospel. There is a movement from specific to general. There is a broadening. There is a leveling. There is a move to including in the called out people of God more and more. It is the trajectory of the gospel. We see it in many places in the Old Testament. It's harder to see, I'll grant that. But as the story of redemption moves forward to the Christ event, to the coming of Jesus, we see an opening with generosity, a broadening of who the people of God are, who are the people that are included in what God is doing. You might be wondering what categories I'm talking about. I'm talking about gender, talking about race, talking about status, talking about freedom from slavery. And you can see this in the genealogy of Jesus himself. The genealogy in the first chapter of Matthew is like a snapshot of the work that God has done through history, a glimpse of what it might finally look like under Jesus. And what's incredible about this Messiah of Jewish expectancy, is that he, the hope of Israel, comes from a family with prominent outsiders, people who didn't belong. Rahab, the Canaanite prostitute. Ruth, the outsider from the land of Moab that became the great-grandmother of King David. And this in a culture that wasn't about intermarrying. Didn't believe in that. It was frowned upon. But that's really just the beginning. It's just a hint, because with the coming of Jesus, all of that outsider stuff just explodes and expands. Jesus once told a story about a man that had been beaten and robbed. It's a familiar story known as the Good Samaritan. And he told this story to a group of Jewish teachers. You might remember the images, a man sitting by the side of the road, bleeding, beaten, and left for dead. And people just kind of stepped around him, made space. A priest walked by, a religious official walked by, But the person that stopped to help this beaten man, the person who really understood the kingdom of God and what it meant to live that out, was a Samaritan. These were a group of people who were despised by the Jews. They really despised each other. They were outsiders, people that it was believed you were not even supposed to talk to. It was the Samaritan that stopped. That the person who was the hero in the story, the one who followed the ways of God, was the one they would consider the outsider? It was hard for them to hear. They did not want to hear this because it would mean things need to be opened up. And I think most of us can relate to that. It's easier to keep things the same, to keep things closed. It gives us a sense of security and stability. It gives a predictability to life and supports easy black and white thinking. But Jesus broke down those barriers. And Paul wants those Gentiles to remember that there is no status in God's kingdom. We are all one. Paul concludes this section of verses with his most heavy-hitting point. He says to this group of previously ragged, pagan Gentiles that they are family, that they are part of the family tree. This is what he says. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. You, the outsiders, are fully in. Fully. Imagine being a Jew hearing this. It would have been difficult. Letting those outsiders in, and that way, right into the inheritance? The temptation would have been to let them in, but maybe as associate members, helpers, maybe people on the outside without voting privileges. There are a couple ways we can hear this. The first way is that God is our Abba, Papa, and He loves us dearly. And it's an understanding of being heirs that we as North Americans seem to go to easiest because that's what we think of when we think of becoming a family. And it's true, it's just incomplete. There is more, and that's not what this verse is meant to communicate. It's meant to communicate this. We are the inheritors of God's promises to Abraham to be a blessing to the nations. We are blessed to be a blessing. When you're an heir, you inherit. You inherit the responsibility, the privilege, the authority. Remember Jesus' proclamation of the kingdom of God. We are the kingdom representatives. We're not just the news, not just the people who go out there and just take it for ourselves. We're called to be the ones who carry on the work of what Jesus is doing and continue to demonstrate all that he began. We are blessed to be a blessing. We are heirs of Abraham. We inherit that right and responsibility. You know what I liked about the intimate, personal words of this letter? They last. They give us a snapshot of the life of Paul and the Galatians. But mostly, I like that they speak to us today. Because Paul could have just as easily began this letter with, to the churches in Kelowna. We need to hear these words. Because many of us today are in slavery or wanting to return to slavery like the Galatians. A lot of us are in bondage to the gospels that we believe. And yes, I know many of us probably wouldn't, if asked, say, yes, I have a heretical gospel. There's a funny thing I've noticed. When it comes to our own lives, When it moves away from the realm of ideas and theories and ideology and theology, a strange thing happens. It's like we have a button, a fallenness button, or blind me button, a button that says disconnect. And I've noticed not just in my own life, but in the lives of others, that we can preach a gospel of grace through of faith through grace. We can hold to that in word and deed, in a world of ideas. We can tell other people all about what grace should do in their lives, how they should encounter the gospel. But when it comes to making it personal, a lot of us are heretics. A lot of us are like those Galatians who did not want a gospel of freedom, because we seem to not apply those things in our own lives. We have blinders. Well, Paul preaches a gospel of equality. We look for ways to marginalize. We look for ways to put up walls. We look for ways to disempower. Well, Paul preaches a gospel of being blessed to be a blessing. We are attracted, we live, we love a gospel of being blessed. Well, Paul teaches a gospel of freedom from the law. We practice and we impose a gospel of works, a gospel of merit, a gospel of self-pity and punishment. Well, Paul preaches a gospel in which we are heirs, regents, representatives. We yearn for a gospel of escapism, a gospel that is mostly about dying and going to heaven. Evacuation theology. A theology that forgets Jesus' emphasis and command to be the kingdom here and now. Through Christ, we are free from the law. We are all equal and we belong. Through Christ, we are free by grace through faith. We are one and we are called to be the blessing. You know my friend who refused to take communion? I wish I could tell you there was a happy ending to that story. That he saw that the truth was, he wasn't good enough. He never would be. That's why and how he had come to the communion table. But he never did. He continued to be a good man, trying hard to get better. He was a man of the law. He was in slavery. He liked it there. There is a freedom in the gospel of Jesus Christ, freedom from sin. When sins are broken, bondage is broken, and we live in freedom and are given freedom. And we can be heirs that are blessed to be a blessing to others. Have you experienced freedom? Jesus offers freedom and inheritance, and then, amazingly, equality. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Amen.